In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So healing comes in so many forms. It's rooted in so many needs. And we've spoken in years past about many different kinds of healing. We've spoken of healing for the spirit, for the soul. We've spoken of healing for relationships. We've spoken of healing for mental health. We've spoken of healing for our deeds, for what we do. We've spoken of the healing of our faith. All of these kinds of healing are needed in this broken world. All of these are in genuine need of the grace of healing. And we come before God and we open ourselves to the healing that only He can offer, that only He can provide. And tonight I'd like to briefly reflect on the healing of the body, the healing of the body. The body is one of the most profound and perhaps perplexing gifts of the human condition. I was thinking about a line from our baptism service. We declare near the end of the baptism service that God has fashioned us with a reason-endowed soul and a beautiful body, and the body serves the reason-endowed soul. God has given us a reason-endowed soul and a beautiful body to serve that soul. Now, the soul is clearly primary, for the soul is eternal. This body we have is mortal. It will eventually end. It will eventually die. Nonetheless, your soul is incomplete without your body, and you will get a new body in the age to come, one that is eternal. But in this world, God gave each of you a body that is both beautiful and in service to your soul. And just to be clear, we're not talking about beautiful. When we say a beautiful body, we're not talking about like Hollywood's shallow definition about that. This is so much deeper and so much more real. We speak of an intrinsic beauty of the body that should overwhelm us with awe for how God created us, that should fill us with amazement and gratitude. Now, because the body is part of this broken world, of course, it too is broken. Not only does it get sick, it fails in various ways. It can make unhealthy demands on us. You know, a sacred desire for one's spouse can decay into lust. A natural need for nutrition can devolve into gluttony. The need for clothing or shelter or heat can become an addiction to comfort. You know, all the things the body can, in its broken condition, make unhealthy and unreasonable demands on us. And sometimes this leads us believers to be more harsh or more suspicious of the body than we ought to be. Because at its core, the body is still intrinsically good and intrinsically beautiful in spite of its wounds. Its wounds do not make it less beautiful in God's eyes. Someone once asked the desert father, someone once asked him if he should despise his body when it leads him to sin. He said, you know, Father, should I despise my body when it leads me to sin? Now, the holy elder, as they often do, responded with his own question, He said, tell me, my dear friend, if your cloak is torn, do you throw it away? And the person responded, well, no. I mend it, and in the place where I mend it with greater care in that place than where it was never torn. I'm more careful about where it has been, where it's being mended than the places that it was never torn. And the Holy Father replied, so should you reverence your body when it causes you to stumble, that it might be restored to its former beauty. A wounded body, a stumbling body, needs more care and more grace, not disdain. Not contempt. As St. Paul tells the Ephesians, we read this at every wedding. St. Paul tells the Ephesians, no one should hate their own body, but rather we nourish and cherish it just as Christ does the church. Just as Christ does the church. You can't imagine Jesus disdaining the church, right? Our reverence for our body should be as strong as Christ's love for the church. And that's huge. That's a huge sentence. Our reverence for our body should be as strong as Christ's love for the church. And doesn't Advent and the Nativity season teach us exactly this? I mean, what are we celebrating this season? What do we celebrate other than God taking on a body in the person of Jesus Christ? the body of the Savior that gives life to the world. And as we bask in this beauty of the Nativity season and all the decorations and the life that is coming for us and sustaining us, I think it would perhaps be good this evening to reflect maybe with a little gratitude on the ways your beautiful body serves your soul. I mean, take just for example, breathing, you know. Yeah, when the Holy Fathers speak of the body, they often speak of the breath because of how closely our breath is connected to our spirit. You know, every breath, you know, not only brings oxygen and expels carbon dioxide. You know, that's what they teach you in biology class, and that's true. But your breath does a lot more for you than just that. This is just as true. Your breath cleanses your soul. That's a fact. A single focused breath can calm you down, calm a raging spirit. It can lower your blood pressure. That's just as much a fact as the carbon dioxide and oxygen exchange. A single focused breath can calm a raging spirit and lower your blood pressure. Your breath forms words. The words I'm speaking now, the words you spoke before and after services or with your families, words that empower, words that enliven, words that edify, words that show gratitude, that greet, and that glorify. Or think of your hands. You know, you want to talk about the body, think of your hands. You know, one of the things that sold me on marrying Michelle was watching her hands fix me a grilled cheese sandwich when we were first dating. We had only been dating about a week. And she had me over for lunch, and she made me a grilled cheese sandwich. I just watched her hands work. This, true story. I'm amazed watching her fix food for me. It's just a mind-boggling thing that hands can provide for somebody else. You know, hands soothe infants. Hands comfort the dying. Hands build churches. Hands feed nations. Hands break the bread of the Eucharist. Hands anoint the sick with oil. That's true with everything. I mean, everything about us serves our soul. The hairs on the back of your neck warn you of danger. The muscles in your shoulders let you know when you're tense. You know, part of the body that I'm particularly aware of is the eye. You know, having lost vision in one eye, I notice the other one a lot more often than I used to. But just think of what the eyes bring into us continually, most of the time without us even thinking about it. All these systems of the body work in harmony that your soul might experience life. But ultimately, a healed body is not so much whether all the systems are working correctly or working pain-free. Ultimately, a healed body, a beautiful body, is a body that serves the soul and a body that glorifies God. That's the ultimate definition of a healed body, a body that glorifies God. You know, I can't count how many times I've had the honor of praying at the bedside of someone grievously ill or even dying. And with each holy God, holy mighty, their arm starts to move in the sign of the cross. Their mouth opens to receive the body and blood of Christ. It doesn't matter how many systems internally are shutting down. A body that can do the will of God, a body that can do this on its deathbed, a body that can glorify God is healed in an eternal way. And therefore it is, by definition, beautiful. Beautiful. So as we come tonight for healing, especially in this season when we remember God taking flesh in a body, as we ask for healing and come with gratitude for our beautiful bodies, let us learn to nourish and cherish our body just as Christ loves the church. And that's a big sentence. To nourish and cherish our bodies just as Christ loves the church. And let us remember that a truly healed and a truly beautiful body is a body that serves the soul and a body that glorifies God. Amen.